Hello, and welcome to the PubK Compliance News Podcast. This is Bill Olver, Managing Editor of the PubK Group of Legal Publications for the Government Contracting Community. Every morning, PubK Compliance captures the latest news and opinion on government False Claims Act cases, Foreign Corrupt Practices Act enforcement, and related legal issues. Every 2 weeks on this podcast, we recap the top headlines from our daily news. During remarks at a Federal Bar Association conference, Deputy Associate Attorney General Stephen Cox discussed the Brand and Granston memos. In his comments on the Brand memo, Cox clarified that while noncompliance with a guidance document alone would not support an enforcement action, it might demonstrate knowledge or scienter. In relation to the Granston memo, Cox noted that the department dedicates significant resources to monitoring KETAM cases even when it decides not to intervene, and therefore moving for a dismissal may sometimes be in the government's best interests. The Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs will survey federal contractors about their experiences during a compliance evaluation. Contractors who completed an evaluation between October 2012 and September 2017 will receive the survey via email in the next 2 weeks. Contractors will be asked about their experiences and for their suggestions for improving the process. Participation is voluntary and can be anonymous. The Supreme Court recently declined to review the Tenth Circuit's dismissal of a relator's claim based on a novel application of the first-to-file bar. The court's decision let stand the Tenth Circuit's opinion that amending a complaint can constitute intervention for purposes of the first-to-file bar. The circuit court held that under most circumstances, anonymous plaintiffs cannot be considered original parties for purposes of the first-to-file bar, and so filing an amended complaint required they be treated as new relators, which means they could not file an action based on the same theory as the original complaint. The United States District Court for the Eastern District of Oklahoma dismissed a KETAM case alleging that a federal contractor's substandard work for the Army resulted in the submission of false claims for payment. The court concluded the relators had not offered sufficient evidence that the contractor knowingly caused the submission of false claims. In United States v. Strzok, a New York District Court held that Escobar's materiality standard applies, at a minimum, to express false certification and fraudulent inducement FCA theories, in addition to the implied false certification theory at issue in Escobar. The court further held that the government failed to adequately plead materiality under Escobar and dismissed the case. This week, the SEC charged two former anti-money laundering compliance officers with aiding and abetting their firm's AML violations. Both were employed by New York-based broker-dealer Aegis Capital Corp. The officers were charged with aiding and abetting and failing to file suspicious activity reports. Advanced Thermal Technologies LLC and James W. Connell III have been charged with violating the FCA in relation to contracts with the National Science Foundation and Department of Energy. According to the allegations, the firm submitted false certifications of compliance claims and statements, and Connell was paid at inflated labor rates. Kinross Gold Corporation will pay $950,000 to resolve allegations it violated the FCPA's books and records and internal accounting control provisions. SEC charged the firm with repeated failure to establish anti-corruption compliance programs and adequate accounting controls at two African facilities. The firm did not confirm or deny SEC's findings, but did note that it had received a declination from the Department of Justice. The Ethics and Compliance Initiative has released the results of the latest Global Business Ethics Survey. According to the survey, more than one-fifth of private sector employees worldwide felt increased pressure to compromise organizational standards. More than one-third of respondents reported experiencing retaliation related to whistleblower activities. Only one in five employees agree that their company has a strong ethical culture, and approximately 40% described their company's ethical culture as weak or leaning weak. The anti-retaliation provision in the False Claims Act bars an employer from discriminating against a whistleblower, but it does not specifically identify constructive discharge as a form of prohibited retaliation. However, a recent circuit court decision in Smith v. LHC Group, Inc. clarified that constructive discharge is also a form of prohibited retaliation under the FCA. The Canadian government has announced its version of a deferred prosecution agreement, which is modeled on the UK and US versions. Upon entering into a DPA, the government will drop criminal charges after a certain period if the organization complies with the terms of the deal. Penalties are likely to involve fines and monitoring by a compliance official who will report a firm's progress to the government. The Irish Parliament is considering new law that would consolidate seven anti-corruption acts and introduce a range of new offenses to modernize the country's anti-corruption program. One new offense provides that if an employee, officer, or agent of a firm commits an offense with the intention of providing benefit to the firm, the corporate body itself will also be considered guilty of the crime. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development has praised Switzerland for making significant progress against foreign bribery since the organization last examined the country's anti-corruption program. However, OECD called out Poland for failing to implement anti-bribery reforms the organization recommended 5 years ago. According to OECD, the country needs to take urgent steps to ensure companies are held accountable for foreign bribery and increase fines to ensure penalties are an effective deterrent. And that's the news. For further reading on today's topics, you can find links to our blog posts and original sources on the PubK Compliance page where you listen to this podcast. Hope you enjoyed the presentation. Please join us again in 2 weeks for the next edition of the Compliance News Podcast.